So that's what we do when we're actually dealing with the thoughts. But, you know, there are times when we actually don't feel like eating a whole cheesecake and we don't feel like, you know, punching out our brother or whoever it is that we get mad at. So then we need to be in a proactive state. And, you know, a vital prayer life is very, very important here because that's our link to sanity. And it's like, how stupid is it that I am going to put a cheesecake before my life with God and my love for other people? I mean, that's really stupid. But I don't recognize how stupid it is because I'm not spending enough time with the one that would make that very apparent. So then they were also suggested to anticipate tempting scenarios and have a plan. Okay, we all have situations we get into time and time and time again, right? There's person A walks into the room, and he says X, I say Y, he says Z, I say, you know, A1, and then I say something even worse, I hit him, he hits me, whatever it is. It's like, and this happens time after time after time, right? I mean, we all have situations where we just know that these situations are very likely to happen because they've happened over and over and over. So you get a plan. It's like, okay, if somebody bakes a cheesecake, I'm going to go over so-and-so's house and do something or whatever it is. Or, you know, when so-and-so says such and such, you know, I'm gonna say forgive me and, you know, and go on and do whatever it is, whatever my plan is. So I can pretty well guarantee you that the first time you try your plan, it's going to fail. But, you know, if you break your legs and you've been off of your legs for months, the first time that you try to walk, you're not going to get very far, and you may not get anywhere at all. But we have enough sense to know that when my physical muscles have atrophied by lack of use, that it's going to take quite a while before they're back to normal. And, you know, my spiritual muscles have been atrophied forever. And so for me to be surprised that it's going to take a while for them to get strong is sort of silly. You know, and so, so you have your plan and you try it. And then, you know, you repent of where you fell short and then you come to the next time and you try it. And you repent of where you fell short, and you come to the next time and you try it. And little by little, we generally do better. Also, as we mentioned above, you know, you have these godly thoughts that are the counters of the tempting thoughts. And you do these on a regular basis, like every morning or every evening, because If I am not on a regular basis saying the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, my chances of remembering it when I'm extremely tempted by the cheesecake are essentially none. And so, I need to be practicing it when I'm not tempted. Or I know that it's not going to come to mind and be strong enough to do anything with, when I am tempted. You know that the story about the little Native American boy who was talking to the medicine man who was explaining that every person had a good dog and a bad dog inside them. Most of you hear this story, or some of you? Okay. So he says, everyone has this good dog and bad dog inside them, and the little boy says, oh, well, which dog wins? And the medicine man said, the one that you feed the most. You know, and so we've all fed gluttony, pride, avarice, dejection, despondency, lust. I mean, we've fed them our whole lives one way or another. And so, you know, it's going to take a while to start feeding the good dogs. And so we just have to keep going and keep trusting in God. So, okay, so those are what the fathers say that we need to do. Now, most of us are pretty far along in the progression of the passions. Most of us have full-blown passions in many places in our lives. And so, you know, there is no way to get totally done, rid of our passions without getting rid of the thoughts, or in the sense of not having them have the power over us. But it's going to be slow. So in the meantime, you know, if the passion is a tree, and the thoughts are the roots, and the actions are the leaves, while we're working on cutting out the roots, we can also keep lopping off the upper growth. So this is from Abba Pieman, there's one of his sayings. It says, another brother questioned him in these words, what does see that none of you repays evil for evil mean? And that's referencing 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seeks to do good to one another and to all. The old man said to him, passions work in four stages. First, in the heart. Secondly, in the face. Thirdly, in words. And fourthly, it is essential not to render evil for evil in deeds. When you can purify your heart, passion will not come into your expression. But if it comes into your face, take care not to speak. But if you do speak, cut the conversation short in case you render evil for evil. Okay, so, you know, he's talking about basically anger. So here's what he's saying. You shouldn't let anger come into your heart. Did you let anger come into your heart? Okay. Don't let it into your face. Did you let it into your face? Okay. Don't let it into your words. Did you let it into your words? Okay. Don't hit him. Did you hit him? Don't hit him again. You know, we can always stop. We can always say, by the grace of God, I don't have to take the next step. You know, and so as we do that, you know, by the grace of God, as we lop off, you know, that upper growth and cut out the roots, by the grace of God, there will be a time when, you know, that tree of the passions is uprooted in us. Now, let's see, how bad are we doing? Okay, anyway, now, Mother Victoria, her Elder Dimitri, whom some of you actually know, he lived in this area, for years. He gave her the two things a monk should always do, which are, in a way, two simple rules for becoming sane, and they are always cut off your own will, and always take the blame. Now, the problem is we can't go from never to always in one jump. You know, you don't go from 0 to 110 seconds. So if I go from basically always doing my own will to trying to never do my own will, and I go from never taking the blame to always taking the blame, I'm going to, you know, go crazy. Or I'm going to quit in about 10 minutes. But, you know, the fathers say that the person who never does his will, whatever happens is his will. And they're not talking about the sick kind of way of, oh, go ahead, do whatever you want. I don't care. But no, what they're talking about is, you know, is recognizing that God is in control of this universe and he is a good God. And if he allows something to happen, he allows it because good can come from it. So so how do we start cutting off our will? Well, here's an idea or two. You know, Why don't we start by, we all have something that we do that we know drives the people closest to us crazy, and we do it anyway. Why don't we start by saying, okay, by the grace of God, I'm going to try not to do that. Whatever it is, I don't have to tell you what yours are, I know what mine are. And then also to do like little things, if you're a chronic watcher, say I'm not going to watch it, and that seems really silly unless you try it, and you'll see how hard it is actually not to do it. And just bit by bit to train ourselves not to do what our passions are telling us to do, because they pull strings and we're like little marionettes, And it's just, wait a minute, I don't have to. So if we can start with those things. And then about taking the blame. You have the saints who are at these great heights where they take the blame for everybody out of love. Okay, I can't even imagine what that really looks like because I'm not there. But, we all have things in our lives where we know that we're to blame. And we're just too embarrassed or too proud or too whatever it is to take the blame. So why don't we start with the places where we know that we're to blame? And, if we get that one mastered in, 10, 20 years or however long it takes us, we all have things in our lives where, our mother and our father and our uncle and our aunt and our coworkers and everybody else think that it's our fault. Maybe, just maybe, they're right. if they're not right, it's a wonderful opportunity for humility to go, that's like the quick road to heaven. But chances are, if everybody agrees that something's our fault, they're probably right. And for us to have the humility to do that. And so what this has to do with the topic of becoming sane is for those of us who are just insane in the normal way, in which we're just sinners and we sort of like being sinners, we got this way because we accepted certain thoughts. And we don't have to accept those thoughts. And if we go, this is a short way to cut off our will and to take the blame. That's the short way to God if we're willing to do it. It's steep, but it's short. Okay, so that's what I had to say. Thank you for letting me finish. Is there any further questions? No? Okay. Well, I exhausted you all. Thank you very much.